The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, your lonely host, because I still don't get any emails for anybody asking me questions. If you want to, if there's a topic you'd like to hear about or something you have a question about, just email me at commonlaw, one word, number 7, letter B, at gmail.com. Today we have a guest speaker. Her name is Mandy Lay. She is an education lawyer who works on behalf of children and their parents as opposed to the school districts. And if you have kids or you have friends who have kids who are in school, and especially if you or your friends have kids who are in school who seem to be struggling with school and having issues with getting the assistance they need, this is the show to listen to. So if they aren't tuned in, just tell them to go to the KSPT website and or to my website. My radio shows are on there also, and it'd be the very first one on the list. Usually it takes a little bit for them to get them posted up there, but I strongly recommend listening to this. I think it'll be a bit of an eye-opener for almost anybody, because I know that Mandy helped me and my wife with our daughter and her educational issues, and when she looked at our file, she was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on up there? And, you know, I've learned an awful lot just from going through that experience. So, again, please have anybody who has kids in school give a listen to this show. And before we get to her, though, I just need to comment on a couple of recent things that have happened in the last month in the news. Your ex-president using the Justice Department to investigate his political rivals. And your ex-president trying to use the Justice Department to get Saturday Night Live to stop teasing him. All right, if anybody out there still supports this guy and thinks that he is okay, well, I don't know how else to say it, you're a fascist. Because I don't care what his policies are. I don't care whether he is right-wing, left-wing, big government, or small. Doing that kind of thing is fascism. That's what Putin would do. That's what Putin does do. Poisons him, throws him in jail, creates fake investigations to justify his actions. I mean, it is just absolutely disgusting. So if you don't have a problem with it, well, you need to really reconsider why you're worshiping a person and not an ideal. Our country is not based on people. It's based on ideals and laws. He is not an ideal person. He's a horrible person, and he has zero respect for the law, which I hope he's going to be held accountable for here pretty soon, which I think is pretty likely. I don't know if it had happened the last time we spoke, but he, when they say there's a criminal investigation by a grand jury, that means they already know where they're going with it. And this other part of this investigation on his tax returns, it's not very complicated to prove that you undervalued things for the IRS and then overvalued them for a bank. If he gets off on any of this, it'll be because he threw probably his family members under the bus. Anyway, there's my little rant for the day, and we'll go to our first break. And then when we come back, hopefully Mandy will be waiting on the line for us. If not, I will blather on about something else until she is. Again, the common law. Thank you for listening. CommonLaw7B at gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
When you've been in a car accident, one of the first things you'll do is make a call to your insurance company.
I've recently been in a car accident, and I need to start a claim to get my vehicle repaired.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is everything okay?
Yes, thank you, but my car is totaled.
Well, we have a number of preferred shops in your area that can take care of that for you.
Oh, that's okay. I've already decided to take my vehicle to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry. They said they will handle all the paperwork and get my vehicle in and repaired as soon as possible.
Oh, well, I see here they're not one of our direct repair shops, and we can't guarantee the work that they do.
Well, actually, any guarantee on the vehicle will come directly from the shop shop that does the repairs. And North Idaho Collision Repair Center offers a written lifetime warranty on anything they do. They use original manufactured parts and will restore my vehicle to pre-accident condition. I'm taking my car to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center reminding you it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company, I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonners Ferry.
Have you visited the Pondere Garden Center yet this season? If not, you've been missing out. The plant inventory is larger than ever, and if you're considering putting in a patio or outdoor fireplace, they've got you covered with a great selection and great pricing. Their Bolt product department offers the best garden soil in the area, and check out the decorative rock, bark products, and stone fountains as you browse around the old farm. Highway 95, north of the Schweitzer Cutoff Road, Pondere Garden Center.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
To find out about our funky town, connect up to Sandpoint Online.
Thinking of dinner and a movie? Click to sandpointonline.com to plan your night out. See reviews and showtimes for every movie in town. Then click to Sandpoint Online's new restaurants and dining guide. Browse every restaurant in town by type of food, amenities, location, even price range. Sandpointonline.com. It's our town's hangout on the World Wide Web.
Sandpoint Online. Sandpoint Online.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We now have Mandy, and I think I might be saying her last name wrong, Lee or Lay, on the line. She'll correct me as soon as she comes on. Mandy, can you hear me?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Am I saying your last name wrong?
It's Lee.
It's Lee. Okay. I know. I think I've been doing that ever since I've known you. So
probably.
Anyway,
I don't think I've corrected you ever, though.
Well, I'm used to people mispronouncing my last name wrong, so maybe that's why I can't ever remember anybody else's. So, but I've introduced what you're going to talk about, so I think with that, I will just let you go forward. And what I'll do is I'll, you know, when we get to the next break, I might kind of cut in and let you know. I'll try to find a good place to interject and let you know we need to go to break.
Sure. So thanks for having me on today.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll do a little bit about myself. You know, I was a teacher for a while in public school. In the public school system. I have children in the public school system myself, and I'm a special education law attorney with a focus on school law, expulsion law, and all things civil rights as it relates to K through 12 public schools and universities. And I am the lead attorney at the Lee Law Group here in Northern California. I've also done some limited special education work under special provisions that allow for out-of-state attorneys to practice in other states in Idaho. So I'm vaguely familiar with some of the procedures in the state of Idaho as well when it comes to education law and special education. So I know that you wanted me to talk a little bit about sort of generally what are the rights of children who have been diagnosed with a disability and or who have not been diagnosed with a disability or are not receiving special education assistance or services but might be struggling in school. And so is there anything specific you want me to start on, or do you want me to just go in on it?
I think you can just go ahead and start on it any place you like. I might start by actually telling everybody that there is something in the United States Constitution about education, because I'm surprised. I think I told you the other day that most people I talk to don't actually realize that.
Yeah, so in the there are the federal law, Congress has reenacts every couple of years. More recently in 2005, is called the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act. And that law is what we call a cooperative federalism law, which is basically a law that protects children with disabilities but wants states to cooperate. And the way they get states to cooperate is to create, each state creates its own education code that aligns with the federal, what we call, as I said, the IDEA. And the IDEA has hundreds of pages of legal requirements for states that receive federal dollars to provide special education services to children who have been deemed eligible under federal and or state law. Now, most states like Idaho, California, Florida, you name it, who have taken federal dollars, then create their own, they can't restrict the law any more than the federal law does, but then they create their own definitions and their own procedures that are relevant to their own state and their own schools. And then even under that, you've got school districts creating their own policies and procedures for how they interpret and implement state and federal law when it comes to providing special education for children who have been deemed eligible who are suspected of having a disability. And I think that's really important, because a lot of parents don't know that the bar is really low no matter what state you're in for determining whether a child needs some help. And I think that's really, really the number one advice that I give to people who call our office or who are curious about, you know, they're seeing their child struggle and they have no idea where to turn or what to do. And it's real simple. The law provides that if you suspect that your child is not accessing the curriculum, the educational curriculum that's being provided by your son or daughter's school, then you have the right to put in, and I suggest it be put in writing, you have the right to request that your child be evaluated by the school district personnel who are typically not school, who are not a clinical psychologist. I want to be clear on that. They are school psychologists who have school credentials, who understand the legal requirements for determining whether a child meets the legal eligibility requirements and therefore would qualify for what we call an IEP, which is an individualized educational plan or program, depending on what state you're in, and also a section or a Section 504 plan, both of which are designed to assist children who are in need of help in order to get through school. And once that child is assessed, and they're determined IEP eligible or Section 504 eligible, that's where the spring is. That's where the magic happens. That's where you start showing up for IEP teams at least once a year in order to determine, you know, does your child need reading help? Does your child need math help? Does your child have ADHD and can't sit in class and pay attention? Can't complete homework? Isn't turning in assignments? Is having speech and language issues, isn't making friends, you're having a hard time getting your child to school. Those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. You know, with some children, you know, IEP or Section 504 eligibility is obvious, right? I mean, they have disabilities that manifest themselves in ways that without extraordinary help or without help, period, they will not be able to access the curriculum, meaning they will not be able to head to school like all other children and be engaged and fully participating. With other children, particularly when we're talking about kids with ADHD, dyslexia, learning issues, speech and language issues, sometimes kids on the autism spectrum, or kids who have what the law defines as emotional disturbance, which is a category of eligibility. And there's about 13 or 14 different categories that a child could qualify for under the IDEA or local state law. And those kids are often hard to capture because, you know, they're struggling in school and you're not sure what's going on. You think it's something minor. And lo and behold, you know, maybe the school's been passing your child along and you're like, my child can't read. My child can't do math. My child has anxiety. I can't get them to go to school every day. And the school is telling me my child has A's, B's, and C's. And you're going, wait a second, something is wrong. Something is not going well here. And that's where the law requires that, you know, there might be a suspicion that your child requires an IEP or a Section 504 plan. And I said a whole lot there, so I don't know if there's anything else you want me to break up in that.
No, I was just going to comment that, you know, that was the issue with our daughter who, you know, had, it took us a long time to figure out what the issues were, but, you know, the main problem was she presented as a pretty normal person. And so I think a lot of teachers were very, you know, they just thought she was being obstinate, for lack of a better term. You know, nobody really recognized, I think Amy did earlier on than probably I did. But no, beyond that, I think that's, what's the difference though? We've got a few minutes. What's the difference between a 504 and an IEP plan?
So both laws require that a child be provided, and this is a big ticket here, a free and appropriate public education. That is an education at no expense to the family and no cost to the family. And if and so the difference between the two is really this. Section 504 levels the playing field, and the legal definition under Section 504 is that you have a diagnosed disability before the age of 18 that causes limited vitality or alertness. And then there's a whole host of specifics under the federal statute, such as whether the child can't read or write or spell or do things like that. And really a 504 plan is a host of general education accommodations that are documented that can follow your child through college or university. Then IEP is a little bit more robust. It actually includes the accommodations from Section 504. And by the way, 504 is also a separate federal host of laws, which is Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. And an IEP comes with annual goals, which is the centerpiece of the IDEA, the individuals with the federal statute, the IDEA. And those IEP goals must be reviewed annually to determine if the child has made progress towards those goals. So on a Section 504 plan, you're not going to be receiving also what we call specialized academic instruction or SAI. You're not really going to be seeing a child who requires like reading intervention or math intervention or maybe behavioral intervention. You're going to have a child who requires accommodations to the curriculum so that they can access the school. A good example of what I like to talk about is you could have two kids with ADHD, ADHD being a disorder that's on a spectrum. One child maybe needs extra time or extended time on tests because they can read just fine. Their ADHD is not impacting them in a way that's so pervasive that without these general education accommodations, they couldn't access the curriculum. Another child with ADHD, their attentional issues and their planning deficits could be so significant that they actually lack the internalized ability to actually get through school, to complete their homework. So they have to be taught. And so we create a goal, and you'll be assigned a special educator to teach a child how to turn in their homework on time, to complete their assignments. And maybe their attentional issues have been so severe that they're missing out on class instruction, so now their reading and math is falling behind. So they would be entitled to goals in those areas as well to stay on task so that they can keep caught up on the reading and math commensurate with their same age peers. On a 504 plan, you're really going to just have, like I said, robust general education accommodations put together, like extended time on tests, taking tests in a quiet room, access to calculators, things like that. Those things will also be an IEP, but the IEP is going to have some IEPs could be 5 pages, some as robust as 20 or 30 pages, depending on the child's needs. A 504 plan is going to be a couple pages of accommodation. One thing I do want to say is, for a child who's on an IEP, because Section 504 is incorporated into that, that child will be able to take their 504 plan on to college as well, just like the student who's on a 504 plan. So I think that, and that's kind of the tip of the iceberg, obviously, but those are the key differences. And I think the crux of whether your child qualifies under Section 504 plan or an IEP is whether they require something more. Do they require to be taught a skill, that specialized academic instruction, in order to access the curriculum?
Okay.
Do they need to learn something that other kids don't need to be taught because their disability is affecting them in a way that requires that extra instruction? We're not just talking about tutoring.
Yep.
We're talking
Mandy,
about remediation.
I've got to interrupt real quick for our first break, if that's all right.
Sure.
This is no problem. Common Law 7B. We're visiting with Mandy Lee, educational law expert, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nevin Neal, pastor of Bonners Ferry Baptist Church. Have you ever said something like this? Why can't people just get along? You know, the Bible has the answer for us. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says this, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24 says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Then we read in Proverbs 28, verse 25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Very clearly, strife and conflict between us as people is because of a sin in our heart called pride, a self-centeredness that causes us to have conflict with one another. Oh, my friend, God takes pride very seriously, and so should we. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us here at 267-3746.
And let's throw it over to meteorologist Glenn Blisely for a check on our weekend forecast. Glenn?
You betcha, Yvonne. Lovely sunshine, summer weather heading in. You and Ted planning to hit the links, eh?
Ted and I are 1 year separated, Glenn. I think you know that.
Check in our weekend Doppler fancy forecast map with temperatures heading in the low $100,000 prize.
Glenn?
Sorry. Ever since I got this Beat the Heat scratch game from the Idaho Lottery with massive cash prizes linked to hot temps, it's difficult to concentrate.
We're still live.
And get ready for the smell of barbecue and fresh-cut grass with highs in the $10,000 weekly drawings. Smell the green, mama!
Just point, Glenn. Just point at the sunny pictures.
Next week, be on the lookout for insane degrees of riches. Super hot!
Better yet, let's go to Alex with our sports wrap-up. Sports! Are we sporting?
Play Beat the Heat, the scratch game. Win 100 grand, plus the hotter the temperature, the bigger the prizes with hot weekly cash giveaways. Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Play wise.
Hi, this is Lauren.
And Eve.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Come on in now for the Knutson Summer Kickoff, where you can get a new 2021 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab LT4x4 for just $43,788.
Only one at this price.
Or a new 2021 Chevy Equinox LT All-Wheel Drive for only $24,866.
And one at this price.
That's 24% off MSRP. VINs posted in our showroom. Prices are plus tax and fees and after rebate.
You must own a 2007 or newer non-GM product to qualify. Offer expires June 30th. Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership, putting customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and purchase your next vehicle online using Shop Click Drive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
97.1 FM. 1450 KBFI and 1400 KSPT.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm Arthur Beislein. We have been visiting with Mandy Lee, a special education law expert. And I think, Mandy, you were just wrapping up with not the differences, but what a 504 and an IEP was. And from there, I'll just let you take it away again.
Yeah, I think when a lot of people ask me about what What do they need to do in order to get the process started? And I feel like it's really simple. I mean, my number one rule for anyone who calls me, the first thing I ask is, have you put it in writing? Have you put your child's struggles, what you're witnessing? And I think, you know, what's been a really interesting phenomenon since COVID-19 is that a lot of kids were working at home from school, or working on school from home, excuse me. And so a lot of parents really got tuned in and dialed in to their child's academic struggles, whether they were having a hard time reading or writing or doing the homework or the math or, you know, what have you. And I got to say that it was interesting because as parents were observing the academic struggles that their children were having, we were getting a lot of calls of what do we do? How do we ask for help? And is there any help that can be gotten? And the answer is yes, there is. And that goes back to that. Do you suspect your child, you know, has a disability that is affecting them in school? My number one piece of advice is put it in writing. And it's real simple. You just say, outline the struggles that you've been observing very specifically. I have been seeing my child cannot complete basic math. My child is incapable of turning in any homework. I noticed that my child is completely off task for the majority of the lesson, or my child is not making friends, or my child is feeling, whatever it is that you are observing as a parent, be really detailed. I like to tell parents to bullet point the issue so it's really straightforward. The school knows what they're dealing with, and then use the following words. I am requesting an assessment for special education eligibility. And I think that then the school district has 15 days thereabout, depending, and it can vary depending on your state, to provide you with what's called an assessment plan. And they have to assess in every single area of suspected needs. And once that assessment is done, you'll be meeting in 60 days, whether it's under Section 504 or the IDEA or even under your state law. And then once you meet, you're going to be going through the assessment process. And this is where a special education attorney like myself can be really helpful, because special education attorneys are equipped to identify what the assessment results mean and fully explain to families in great detail how that correlates to legal requirements, where sometimes school district staff, believe it or not, at those IEP meetings or those 504 meetings to discuss those assessment results will gloss over things or underplay the issue. And I just had a situation recently of a child who had severe emotional related issues over the course of years and is now rolling into, you know, middle and high school. And the test results were aberrant. I mean, her own self-report was that she could barely make it through a day of school, and they denied eligibility. And the parents called me, and 3 weeks later, hired me. We went to an IEP meeting, and now she is eligible, and she's got IEP goals, and she's getting counseling and special education help and services, and that's going to help her get through school. So I think that, you know, don't waste time. The minute that you think that you suspect your child has a disability, you need to go and you need to find someone who can interpret state law and federal law and go with you to those IEP meetings, because if you expect that the school district is going to be helping you and laying out all the cards on the table, they just don't. And part of it, I don't always think it's ill will. I think sometimes the lack of training for school teachers and staff to even identify when a child should be assessed is pretty low. I don't think school district staff and administrators get the training that they need in order to really identify children in need and to help parents through the process, even when it's real clear, the writing's on the wall, this kid should be deemed eligible. And then you've got what's called a child find violation, which is the failure to timely assess a child for special education or for a 504 plan. And that comes with a whole host of issues. And it's a parent's right to debate the eligibility of a child either under 504 and under the IDEA. And that's a whole barrel of fun that involves the judge and witnesses and experts. You know, and I should also say that parents are entitled to bring people to the meeting that have knowledge about their child. So if you've got a pediatrician or you've got a therapist or a speech-language person or a tutor who can speak about the struggles that your child's been going through, by all means, bring them all. Bring them all, because this is where you're going to get the most out of the process. So anyway, that's my two cents on that.
And let me interject. The other reason to get an educational lawyer to go with you is because by the time it gets to that point, you're probably tired of advocating for your child. And I know that when we hired you, it was just like this huge weight off. And I'm a litigator, for goodness sake, you know. And it was just a huge weight off my shoulder. And I'll never forget when we had that mediation, and it was you and I and Amy, and we sat. I don't remember how many people from the district were there, maybe 10. And,
yeah.
And they all went around the table and did exactly what you just said, glossed over my kids' issues. And then we got to you. And then you let them have it to the point that I was ready to crawl under the table and hide. So, but it's,
well,
I can't over, I guess, not estimate, words not the word, emphasize the importance of running something like this past somebody like you, because it, you know, when we got into it and Amy was kind of helping you with it, I was like, this stuff is insanely complex. And it's just like there's so much law and so many different things that it could apply that I'm glad that you all did it for me is my point. So, but anyway, that's my two cents on that.
That's kind of our theme, is that the thing about a special education attorney, it's like with anything, right? You get what you pay for, kind of thing. And I think that parents would like to think, and I think sometimes school administrators and academics, you know, teachers and administrators, I would like to think, and even though I'm on the opposite side, I was a teacher for a very long time myself, that everybody's on the same page. We're all there to help children. You know what I mean? But the reality is, it does cost money to educate children who need these extra things, and sometimes that can be the barrier. As I said earlier, sometimes it can also be just plain ignorance. You know, they just haven't been trained in identifying children in need, and sometimes you get bad seeds. It's just the way it is, like with anything, whether it's doctor's offices or your plumber, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. And I think that parents would like to think, well, I'm just going to stroll into that meeting, and it's going to be a casual meeting, and I'm just going to talk about my kids' needs, and of course they're there to help me. Why wouldn't they be there to help me? And meanwhile, 5 years later, your kid is 16, and now they've developed an anxiety disorder because they can't read like everybody else, and the kids are making fun of them, or they're getting bullied, or they're just plain feeling bad about themselves. And so I can't impart upon people that this is a legal process. These are complicated areas of the law. This is very, very difficult. This is not an area of the law that I suggest people dabble in and wait and hope. You know, your child's future is too important. And when you have someone who will take the burden off of you, someone who knows these laws and the regulations and the state law and the case law, and can look the administrators in the eye, and can look the academics in the eye and say, you have been failing this child. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe it wasn't on purpose. It doesn't matter. We need to come to the table to problem solve. And a good attorney, even on my side, sometimes attorneys want to fight, fight, fight. A good attorney isn't going to put a child in the middle of the battle. A good attorney is going to problem solve, because we have no time to waste. Your child has a finite amount of years in high school and middle school and elementary school. And in that time, I've got to make sure that your child learns how to read, write, gets the accommodations they need, and becomes a successful and productive citizen, you know, after they leave high school and is ready to do whatever. You know, I've got kids who go on to be journeymen, firemen, teachers, some attorneys, doctors. So don't give up. There is someone out there who can help you. Do not give up. You know, and I think it's so hard on parents when they think that they've done everything they can and they don't know where to turn. I can't tell you how many times, Art, that I hear, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a special ed attorney, honestly. And we are out there, and you don't have to do this on your own.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you Google education attorney in Idaho, all you get is all the people that work for the school districts.
Yeah.
I haven't checked recently, but I don't know of anybody who does it. I looked, I think, probably a year ago, because I'm just curious why nobody does it. And I was hoping Amy would start doing a little bit more of it. Maybe she will now that the festival is, we're kind of getting towards the home stretch on that, thank goodness. But I think right now we need to go to a break. Do you have some more to tell us in the last 10 minutes of this show?
Well, I realize I've been yelling like a car salesman into the phone. Sorry. But,
no, I think it's great. So
I get, as you can tell, I get very passionate about this area of the law. We save children's lives every day, whether they're children not in a, you know, who are on feeding tubes, or children who are super bright, who are dyslexic and just need to learn how to read. I would just tell parents, like, let an attorney take the motion out of it. You can get help for your child.
Okay. Well, we need to go to our next break. Do you want to come back for the last 10 minutes, or I don't have anything to say. I mean, I started off by ripping on Trump, and I could do that for the entire show, but
I'm about to go on holiday with my family, so I'm going to let you take the last 10 minutes, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mandy, and you all have a great vacation, and let us know when you want to come up and spend a little time on the lake.
I will. Thanks, Art.
All right. Thank you.
Tell everybody I said hello.
Bye-bye. I will. Bye-bye. And with that, this is Common Law. I'm Arthur Beislein, and we will go to our next break.
It's time to take a trip to Plinko Paradise, which this month happens to be located at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. June is your month to win a chunk of $78,000 in Plinko cash. You can qualify all month long for weekend drawings where you can win Plinko cash every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll also have midweek spins, video tournaments, and beach blanket happy hour in Springs Restaurant. Midweek, Kootenai Falls Lodge rooms are just $89. Or you can upgrade to a Riverview room for just $99. They both come with breakfast for two. And when winning makes you hungry, we'll have a prime rib dinner special every Friday and Saturday starting at just $26. Summer's here, and it's time for a getaway to Plinko Paradise. Book your Kootenai Casino stay by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
The Pet Patrol and Trading Post can now be found at our website, NorthIdahoRadio.com. If you have lost or have found an animal, just log on to NorthIdahoRadio.com and click on the Pet Patrol tab. The Trading Post, brought to you by Co-op Gas and Supply, is also available to view and post on our web outlet. The Pet Patrol and Trading Post, a service of North Idaho's radio, KSPT KBFI, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
At Bowes Builders, demand is through the roof. To keep up, his business needs a stronger foundation.
Cut the saw, all right? Just one sec. Bowes Builders, this is Bowes. This weekend? Yeah, we can do it.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
We are Lions. We bring hope where it's needed. We are a global force for good. Support causes that matter. Change lives. Change communities. Change the world. We can do more together than we can alone. Join in. Experience the joy of serving. Be part of the movement. Give back. Let's unite the world for good. We are Lions. You can be too. Visit weserve.org.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Common Law. I am your host, Arthur Beislein. My email is commonlaw, one word, number 7, letter B, at gmail.com. I'm telling you, you can get free, not legal advice, but free advice from a lawyer. Which I've said, you know, at a cocktail party, people have no problem asking me questions. So I don't know why you all, or maybe nobody's listening. I don't know. But anyway, we were just had Mandy Lee on the show. And I just want to emphasize again what she already said, which is if your kid's not doing well in school, it's Probably not because your kid's stupid or your kid's obstinate. Most kids don't want to fail and they don't want to do bad, but something is going on. Like with my daughter, she seemed to be really, misbehaved. But what was really going on, it was just avoidance behavior. She didn't understand what they were trying to teach her to do, and so she would do things to avoid it. And that, of course, creates behavioral issues and then shame, and it just spirals downhill. And, you know, and we got to the point where we finally, after this mediation, we actually sent her to a boarding school over in Oregon for a little bit. And even, you know, even they didn't know what to do with her. So then we sent her down to one in Albuquerque, and, you know, and she made some progress. But, you know, that she was 11 when she left. I mean, and so that's the kind of, you know, we knew it had to be done. It wasn't pleasant, and it was just really weird to be an empty nester. You know, little did I know that she'd make up for lost time by not leaving the house after high school. And one other thing Mandy didn't touch on is, and I hope I'm right about this, but I'm pretty sure that they're on the hook until your child is 21. And I've seen some kids here in our local school districts that, you know, hanging around my daughter, and they come over and they say, oh, I'm really lucky. They're going to graduate me early. And I'm just going, huh. I mean, I know them. I mean, you're going, that's just because they don't want to deal with you anymore. Anyway, I had a case up here that Mandy was involved in once where it wasn't my case. It was one of my local attorney friends said they had this great education law case and they were going to handle it. And I said, you can't do it. And they said, oh, yeah, I can. And this is not a dumb person. And I said, no, you can't. Because, I mean, I looked at it and dabbled around in it and tried to play with it. But it's just too complicated. And you just need to have somebody like her. And as I said, the problem is you're not going to find anybody like that. My wife has a significant amount of knowledge about that, and she's gone to some IEPs just to help people deal with the district, because they, and I think Mandy's right, some of it's just not understanding what their duties are, and a lot of it has to do with, they'll tell you money. Say, well, we can't afford that. Well, that's not really an answer. That's not an acceptable answer anyway. And I meant to ask her, you know, like, what, how far do they have to go? Like, these schools we sent my kid to, you know, we paid for them. And they were insanely expensive. And, you know, I don't know if a district ever have to do anything quite like that. But there's a lot that they can do in the interim. And so just if your kid's having trouble, there's something wrong, period. Most kids don't want to do bad. They want to do well. And if they're not, then there's something going on that nobody is really picking up on. Anyway, so for the last little bit, I've been threatening to talk about this for, I don't know, three or four shows. Free trade. And the whole topic drives me nuts. And you know what? I know that I'm going to get, maybe I'll get an email for saying this. This whole Buy American thing, that's the same thing as welfare. And it's absolutely antithetical to what we think we're about, which is laissez-faire economics. I mean, if you can buy a better product from a different country at a cheaper price, well, then that's what you do. And so, okay, so what do we do about all the steel workers that get put out of business? Well, you re-educate them. You spend tax dollars to take care of them. You don't pass on basically what I would call backwards welfare by making us all pay more so they can stay employed in a job that they're not competing effectively in. So, I mean, it's, that's why I don't like the Buy American thing. I mean, I do if I can. I buy local most certainly. If I can find it at the local hardware store, I do not go to Home Depot. But free trade is unilateral free trade. Now, what do I mean by that? Meaning that we don't care if the people we're dealing with are cheating. And so every time I say unilateral free trade is the best, and everybody's response always is, well, as long as it's fair. It's like, no, it's not. That's not the point. It doesn't matter if it's fair. If China, for example, is supporting their steel industry and cheating, and that's why they can make all the quality steel that we'll accept quality-wise for a lot cheaper, well, then we're saving money and we're consuming their resources and not ours. And, you know, granted, we need to make sure that we can ramp up in the event they cut off our steel supply, a little bit like the silicone chip supply. But we proved in World War II we can do that pretty quickly. We didn't have a lot of steel going on until we had to have it, and then we got it done. But it's an absolute undeniable fact that unilateral free trade is better for the country that is engaging in that behavior. Protectionism, tariffs, all these things are not good for anybody's economy in any version of the events. All they are, like I said, is maybe good for one or two small parts of the economy. And like when Trump was engaging in his trade war with, maybe I've already said this, but I'll say it again because that one drives me nuts too. When Trump started a trade war with China because he didn't like the way they were treating our businessmen who were volunteering to do business with China. Nobody forced them to do business with China. So if they knew that was the gig, then why are we starting a trade war and, you know, hurting the hog farmers and the soybean farmers to protect people that are voluntarily engaging in this activity? It's like when we waste money getting hikers out of Iran. It's like, what were you doing there in the first place? I don't think we should have to waste money to save you for going to a place where you shouldn't be going. So that's just my little rant on free trade. But it's just some of these, it's similar things that I don't understand why people think the way that they do. Similar to like when I hear people like Mitch McConnell the other day talking about how the economy was the best it's ever been under Donald Trump. Well, that is absolute BS. I mean, gross national product or gross domestic product or any other one of these indices you want to look up is not made up. So if you go look from 2008 until the start of this pandemic, it was about the same growth rate all the way from Obama, all the way through Trump, all the way through his so-called job-creating tax hikes for rich corporations. It's just not true. And so, again, you have the internet. I mean, okay, I know that sounds kind of silly. If I read it on the internet, it must be true. Well, no, a lot of it's not true. But a lot of this stuff is put out by governmental agencies to keep track of it. So do your research and look into things before you, again, start worshiping some person. And speaking of Mitch McConnell, since I've got three more minutes or so, or maybe two, I don't know. Again, the filibuster, people. I mean, why is this even a debate? The other day, McConnell was up there when they were threatening to get rid of it for this Voting Rights Act. He said, well, if they want to destroy the institution, like, no, man, the filibuster is what's destroying the institution. The filibuster is the reason that you guys don't get anything done. The filibuster rule is basically rewarding bad behavior because the Senate operates under this goofy idea that you should be able to debate a subject forever and ever, even if you're not talking about what the subject is. So, again, you people need to get on the horn and tell your representative that you want it gone and you want the Hastert rule gone. That's the one that where the House, whoever's in charge of the House, says that the majority doesn't want to vote on it, then we don't vote on it. This is what's killing your government. And I don't know why they just won't get rid of the rule. The Senate can change any rule they want, unless, of course, you got a Joe Manchin who is, you know, apparently not feeling like he's getting enough attention. But it's just maddening to me, and I don't know why it's not maddening to anybody else. And with my last minute and a half, I think I want to mention one other thing about property law that I don't know that I've ever talked about. Oh, I only have 15 seconds? All right. Well, then I won't talk about property law. I will. I was just going to say, if your kid's going to college, make sure that they read their lease carefully. I talked to the high school kids the other day, some seniors, just kind of give them, it's kind of a little common law version for them before they head out. But make sure they read their lease carefully. Thank you for listening. Again, if you have friends with kids, if you have friends with kids who maybe have education problems, listen to this show, send them to my website or go to the KPST website, KSPT, and I've got it halfway right. And have them listen to it. And y'all have a good weekend. Happy Dead Friday. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and thank you again for listening to Common Law. K246.